This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WPR Sunday Nights, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the sensei of Madison. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch Muscle Talk Radio. And in closing, I am
the Wonder!
Oh.
Hey everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you've got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect?
And damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Bitches and Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kemp.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the Indie
C. It's still real to be damned.
With your host, Jim
Stein. Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Bug.
What kind of kid you? And I like that.
Mace.
Mace! I'm the Dick.
Will. Hey, yo. Tonight's special guest, Alan Wojcik.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to. Even though I don't know what Twitter is and have no desire to find out.
Kenny Omega.
Clean out the house!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to put it yourself, as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WPR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on a special Valentine's edition of the show where all of our musical breaks will have a theme of romance and love. And tonight, amazingly enough, against all odds, we stayed awake through another TNA pay-per-view. And we are here to run it down along with the news of the week. As always, this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading us into another show. And joining me tonight, we have Mace.
That was such an exciting TNA pay-per-view. I am so excited that it was such a great show.
Whoa, calm down. Calm down. Save it for the show.
I'm sorry, Omega, that the pay-per-view just had me so excited that I was...
No, hey.
What?
Keep with us.
Oh, shit. Oh, last thing I remember was the TNA logo coming up. Did I miss the pay-per-view?
Yeah. Woo! And also, Mr. Alan Wojcik.
So am I like the only one of us that didn't watch the Grammys and cry when Justin Bieber didn't win Best New Artist?
Dude. Dude,
as Doug would say, cry for me, little kiddies.
I went through a whole gallon of Haagen-Dazs, man. I hated it.
As tweeners sitting there going, if Bieber loses, we riot.
Oh, how I wish. It'd just be hilarious to see a bunch of 12-year-old girls rush the stage.
They're taking out Gaga with meat or something like that.
And, as always, leading the way, Mr. Tim Stein.
Damn. Sorry, guys. I got kind of sort of taken aback for a second. Alan made it funny, and it was actually humorous. Holy
yeah, that was
shit.
Good.
That was awesome, Alan. I'm absolutely impressed. You've been reading books, haven't you? You've been...
Yeah,
you've read
Bruce Hart's book.
Oh! Bruce, yeah, Bruce Hart's book. Oh, well, you know, I was the best, and I'm a better booker than what they got at TNA. And if you ever saw the last bit of Stampede Wrestling that I booked, he talks like that.
Oh, he sounds like his dad, really?
Oh, yeah, he's getting there. And he's the best booker on the planet. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah, says so in the book.
Yeah, he's too good for TNA, so. And then again, most people aren't.
And, I think my two-year-old booked this show tonight with some crayons.
Oh, did they? No. Better not.
If she booked the show with crayons, man, it would have been a whole lot better. It sure as hell died near the main event.
I remember, he's a crayonologist.
Hey, stick those crayons up your ass, squat over a piece of paper, and write a better show.
Why do they have to be up the ass?
I don't know. Ask Mr.
I don't know either, man. What the hell? Where the heck have you been lately, Tim? Good Lord.
Christ, Mr. Anderson is the one who came up with that promo. Don't be shooting on me, for Christ's sakes.
Okay.
Jesus, don't you guys pay attention to a pay-per-view?
When they start yapping, I start going, yeah, okay, promo, whatever.
Misty, do you need me to do anything for you, dear?
Yeah, I know, Ellen.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently last night Mace got creative and came up with like a shitload of proposed T-shirts for the WTR network. Is that right, Mace?
Oh,
I did. Many, many T-shirts have been created. All of them are available to be viewed on my Facebook, and hopefully Rock will steal them and put them on the actual Wild Talk Radio one.
I'm pretty sure the one you made for me would get me in trouble legally, though.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I don't know. I think we should see
plenty of shirts there that would get us into trouble legally.
Oh, hell yeah. But I think we should see most of them on the video stream. That's not all of them, just most of them. Not the ones that is going to get anybody into trouble. So that means we've got a choice of, what, three? Out of what?
Is that illegal and nobody can sue you over? Oh, good. Great odds.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the ones that we can get sued over are probably my better creations.
Yeah, that's the sad part about it. But, Rock, I've got two words for you. One word deals with sex, the other one deals with travel. Figure it out. Wait, did you catch that, Alan? I told him to fuck up.
Okay. I think that's what TNA tried to do to their fans tonight, dude.
Give them some sex and travel papers. Yeah, there you go. You know, mm-hmm. Some people are like the pay-per-view. Some people aren't going to like the pay-per-view. That's perfectly fine. If you like the pay-per-view.
And me's happy they were trapped in Utah.
If you like the pay-per-view, you know, more power to you. That's all fine and dandy. You know, good for you. If you didn't like the pay-per-view, fine and dandy. Good on you. More power to you. That's all I can say. Tell you the truth, man, it was brutal. It was a brutal pay-per-view, man.
Well, yeah, I'm quite surprised that I actually stayed awake for most of it, because I didn't watch half of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I spent like the first couple of matches trying to find a way for my stepfather to watch the damn thing. Which reminds me, I should ask him what he thought of it.
Yeah, have him call in. Can he Skype?
Nah. He can Skype, but it's quite easy just to walk to the other end of the house and say, hey, what did you think of the pay-per-view?
Yeah, it might be easier to do it that way, Alan.
Cool. Get him on.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I want to hear his opinion of the show.
Live correspondent.
Yeah, my nieces are that bad. One of them will be in her bedroom. The other one will be in the den, and they'll Facebook each other. Dinner time. You can walk 50 feet to tell me. Didn't feel like it. Wait. No, seriously, I caught them doing this on Facebook like a month ago. I'm like,
texting from the bedroom. Can you bring me a soda?
No. I can go one better, honey. I can go one better. Times where I went to an internet cafe and playing World of Warcraft with two of my friends. One sitting either side of me, right next to me, next computer. I'm sending them messages on World of Warcraft, ask them questions instead of turning my head sideways.
If you didn't figure it out, fans, this is how interesting this pay-per-view was. So we're talking about everything but the pay-per-view on Stein Network.
Yeah, that's absolutely parted, man.
Stall, delay, anything. Don't mention the pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, you know what? Thanks for leading us in that direction, Omega. Unfortunately, we have to review Against All Odds. We're going to do that. We're going to do it as quickly as we can.
It's in the contract.
Yeah. guys.
Well, luckily, I'm good at reviewing shit.
Yeah. Because that's the general consensus. Now, again, when we are about to talk about the pay-per-view tonight, guys, don't get us wrong. We're not shooting down the guys in the ring. I'm telling you, the opening match was entertaining enough, Robbie E versus Kazarian. I personally enjoyed the work they did in the ring. It's just, it's the booking of TNA, Alan.
For what they did with this, considering for fans that aren't aware of it, they did mention, I believe, at the opening that the Buck Brothers, Generation Me, whatever you want to call them, got trapped in Utah, I think.
Yeah, it was tropical weather conditions canceled their flight or some shit like that.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, and I'm glad to see them use Robbie E in something other than wrestling Jay Lethal. And I liked that he got into this match the way he did, that he cheap-shotted his way in on Impact Thursday night. And I liked it as an opening match, and hopefully this is something that they're going to do with him as well. And hopefully it works. And yeah, I know I screwed up, so what else is there?
Oh, well. Life's rough. But yeah, no, the first match, pretty entertaining. I'm sorry, I thought the opening was pretty lame. Robbie E comes out and the promo about Generation Me getting stuck with travel plans was pretty lame, in my opinion. Oh, ref, you know, count to 10 and name me number one contender. Yay, 1, 2, 3, 5, 10.
Gonna fist pump to it, my dude. Seriously, I missed like half of that shit. I didn't even really get back to watching the pay-per-view till I think the six-man tag, and even then I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, well, I was just like filling in on how it opened up, but I don't know what it is. It just didn't work for me, Omega.
I'm gonna be honest here. I was asleep for the first hour of this pay-per-view.
Close. It's just me and you, Tim. Let's have fun. Neither one of them wants to talk. This was a risky shot.
I honestly
dropped the ball with this one.
I honestly totally forgot there was a pay-per-view tonight.
All right.
How much I've been paying attention.
Okay, there we go. Staff meeting after the show, guys.
Good deal. You know there's one next week, too, right?
Right. This is the one
that could actually be entertaining. Whereas this one, well,
yeah.
Creature of habits scenario.
So let's just run down this really quickly, and then we'll see what we can do to appease Wrestling Fanatic in the chat room. By the way, good to see you again, Wrestling Fanatic. Thanks for joining us live tonight. We'll see if we can come up with alternate ideas or something like that. We'll go real quick. You know what I'm saying? I think that would be good. So Kazarian comes out as Robbie E's walking off. We've got the match, and Kazarian retains the X Division Championship. Alan.
Well, that's a very good match. Great opener. I it's weird a little bit too. A couple weeks ago, this audience, there wasn't even a pay-per-view ago, this audience was crapping all over Frankie. Now it's like, yay, Kaz, yay, Fortune. Like, okay.
Yeah, we're going to do so. I don't know what this furthers or not. I can't stomach watching TNA on a regular basis. It's a horrible thing to say, but when Impact comes on, I'm surfing the movie channels to see what the what movie is on that I've only seen 5 times as opposed to 10 times.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing.
At least
thing
you're
to
honest.
Well, yeah, you know, there it goes. I think it was Jericho who this past week, I think he tweeted or in an interview or something like that, said something about, you know, they've got fantastic people in the locker room. But if they always come out feeling like they're a second-rate product, they're going to be a second-rate product. If they can't feel like they're working for the best company in the world, it will never be the best company in the world. Discuss, Mace.
Well, I don't even see it's really a motivating factor behind it. The guys are going out there. They're putting their all out there. And we can see it in a lot of the matches, you know. Given what they have been given to work with, they put on what they can do. I think it's gotten to a point of... we can actually full-blown say, it's not the guys in the ring's fault. It's the guys holding the pencil. I blame this on the booking. I blame this on the fact that they don't seem to have coherent storylines, nor come up with storylines we actually want to watch. I sure as hell didn't want to see Kurt Angle versus Jeff Jarrett for the rights for the kids tonight. Didn't want to see Devon's kids be involved. Didn't want to hear about the loaded glove for 16 hours in a fucking knockouts match. You know, but most of those guys, they put on really good matches.
Yeah.
So
Omega, your opinion. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
No, I was just finishing up. Bang, shoot the fuckers in the head.
go ahead, Omega. You pick up the ball from here.
I think the one compliment we've consistently been able to give TNA is that they do have good talent and they can put on really, really good matches. But it all falls apart when the storyline starts getting involved in it. You know, we spend, you know, 2/3 of a match really enjoying it, and then, okay, they have to cut away and go, okay, now it's time for the storyline segment. Here's the booking part. Come on, let's bring this in. And it just railroads out of control. It's a complete disaster. And we saw two horrible ones tonight where it's just, you know, they're trying for this. I keep saying it about TNA. The bookers try for these shock and awe angles, and you just go to it so many times, just no, it doesn't work anymore. They're trying too hard to create a shock moment or something that makes you go, oh my God, I can't believe they just did that. You know, it's the boy who cried wolf. You do it so many times, you know, there isn't anything left.
It's
can't
too complicated.
Yeah.
It's too convoluted, which would be a better thing. Alan, you I don't know if I'm telling tales out of school and you want anybody to know this, but you work for an insurance company during the weekday, don't you?
Working for an insurance company, yes.
Okay, now, you're going to be selling insurance, is that correct?
Yes, on the corporate level.
Okay, so when you boil it down and strip everything away, you're going to be a salesman.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Currently, right now, I'm a salesman. I'm working for a credit card company here in Canada. It's actually for MasterCard. I just got the job a week ago, last Friday.
Don't tell them I made the T-shirt then.
Yeah, I won't. That's why I chuckled extra hard with that one, Mace, when I saw it. But bottom line is, it's up to me to sign people up for a MasterCard, meaning I have to talk them into it, meaning I have to sell them. Well, my first day, here it is. I've got all of this experience in sales. I'm going to pitch the loving fuck out of this and get 100 people signing up on the first day. I got 4 applications. The second day, same thing, same approach, same results, 3 applications in 6 hours. The third day, I had 11 applications after 4 hours on the floor working, and I altered my pitch. I altered my approach. I shortened it down. If you've ever been a salesman, there comes a time when you have to realize that depending on what you're selling, less is more. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah, and we've heard that from people like Dwayne Johnson in his career, that he always said, I wasn't the Swanton Bomb guy. I was the guy that went in and I could do, you knew in my match you were going to see the people's elbow. You knew you were going to see this and see that. I think TNA's issue... Yes, we talked about this Tuesday with both Bug and Mace being on, and we've had Kevin Scott on, and a whole bunch of other media folks have come on, and we've dissected this. And for fans that don't know it, if you're listening to me the first time on the show, I've covered TNA wrestling since day one. I was in Huntsville, Alabama in 2002. So I know what I'm talking about here, that people say it's Russo, people say it's Jarrett. This pay-per-view was really great up until the last third of it, where you had Team 3D and the children, and then you had, oh yeah, more children. And how are you going to recover from something like that in this show? If you're Hardy and Anderson, Tim, you're sitting there going, what the crap? I got to follow those two matches? And I got ladders to do it with. It's a situation of you got to know how to book your show. And this isn't Russo, this is anyone else. Even WWE is sometimes guilty of doing this. And I'm sure, you know, you brought up the shock and awe thing. That was WCW versus WWE in the 90s. It's not new. But somewhere, somehow, someone's got to get, you know, Mick Foley, I think, said it once, you can only get a hit in the head with a chair so many times before you finally go, ow, that hurt. And that's how I kind of felt watching this pay-per-view tonight. I was just like, okay, I can see now why you guys were joking around. I'm like, oh, so-and-so won a Grammy. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the show and I'm just going, okay, creature of habit here, man.
Thank God, Justin Bieber.
Really creature. Justin Bieber wins, we riot, brother, watch out.
I hate
them little tweeners.
Anyway, Mace, as somebody who's been in the ring, what's more effective? You got somebody cornered in, and you got him in the corner of the ropes, and you're wailing on him, and you give him 20 shots to the head, and then he sells it, drops down, springs up 3 seconds later, and counters. Or, yeah, smack him once, let him sell that, and then he counters. Which is better?
It should be smack him once. They sell for probably about 30 seconds to a minute, then they can pop back up and try for a counter, and it'd be a try for a counter, not a successful one.
Yeah.
But some of these guys, they go down, they pop straight back up. If that was me, I'd be, you know, if they come back up with a clothesline, I'd be ducking the clothesline and giving them the biggest fucking potato I could find.
Just to teach them a lesson.
Pretty much.
And I think pretty much most of our listeners by this point in time knows what it is when you deliver a potato. If you don't know what that is, then I don't know why you're listening.
Surrender one of your wrestling fan cards at the door on your way out.
Yeah, there you go. We'll have a question here.
Can I please go the rest of my life without hearing Mace shout stiff'em?
No. He doesn't use it that much now, does he, Omega?
It just came up so suddenly as a stiff one usually does.
Okay, now that was random. You're thinking about Lita again, aren't you?
How dare you?
No, he was talking about a subject we were talking about on CB Radio 2 weeks ago.
Oh, God, don't you guys start again.
Sir, nothing around me gets stiff when Lita's involved, okay?
So Matt Hardy'd have her way, she would have been involved tonight, I'm sure.
Well, according to rumor, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Anyway, my point is, TNA is hitting me repeatedly in the head and expecting me to buy it and then sell the reaction. I can't do that. That's the problem I'm having. And I hope that this extremely long discussion has been brought around to the point that I'm trying to make right now. I mean, less is more, guys. Drop the absolutely ridiculous, convoluted, extra storylines, especially like Kurt Angle versus Jeff Jarrett, you know, kid's custody on a pole match versus the father of the bride.
No, but this is WWE Attitude Era all over again. And Russo and Ferrara admitted it. I think they did a shoot thing with Wade Keller where they said before they would write WWE TV, they would sit and watch Maury Povich, Jerry Springer, those kind of programming, so that's what this is.
Well, they did
I
it better
waiting
the first time
for Maury Povich to jump up and go, you know, let's find out, are you really the father of these two kids, Kurt?
But
yeah,
the thing with that is, if you're going to put an angle such as, you know, the Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle thing, then you turn that into one of your main focuses. You don't have Pope versus Samoa Joe. You don't have Matt Hardy, I think my promo saves pay-per-views because my just being in the backstage area of Impact increases ratings. You know, you don't try and have the match that you're trying to put over preceded by a match involving another person's bloody kids.
Yeah, which was a major momentum killer, dude. I mean, you said it yourself in our production chat. You were toast.
Yeah. It was like watching Dad slap Mom in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner, and everyone just has to go back to eating.
Yeah, and I don't know how Tim feels about it, but
Thanksgiving is like over at your place, Omega.
Yes, but as a parent, I don't know how Tim feels about it, but I do as a parent of two. I didn't want to see these two kids involved at all, and Mason and I talked about this with Scott Fishman from the Miami Herald on Tuesday, that it just, the segment they filmed at the Jared House in Hendersonville just seems so damn awkward, to the point of, why didn't you just hire five kids from SAG, Screen Actors Guild, in Nashville, and go, right, you're the Jared kids, get in there and have more fun with it. I kept waiting for those kids, those his two kids, to be at ringside during this whole thing. And that's it. The Taryn and Terrence, I think the names are, I remember meeting them at FXE's training school a few years ago. So I think they're pretty decently trained. I think they've been training out at the Team 3D Dojo, but what the heck, man?
Yeah, well, I don't know what you can do, but yeah, you're going to talk about a parent. I was thoroughly disgusted with, what's his name, Dominic, you know, being involved between Eddie and Rey Mysterio. I mean, that was fucking retarded, and DNA, basically, they're doing the same fucking thing. What is this, 5 years, 6, 7 years later? Something like that, right?
Did it with CM Punk a couple years ago, didn't they? Where he was singing to one of Ray Ray's kids that is taller than him?
Not to... I don't think it was...
That was a scary...
We weren't competing for the lives of children at that time.
Yeah, it's just
May said it would have been funnier if you had had the two kids sitting up on the top of a pole or something and let Kurt or Jeff climb up there and bring them down.
That's basically what it is. Okay, we're going to treat these kids like they're title belts, which is sick.
Guys, who honestly went into that match thinking that Angle was going to win? Especially knowing that they're doing this TV tape in somewhere in the Carolinas on the 24th. There's more money in Angle being forced to drag his ex-old lady down the aisle way than that. It would have been funny as hell. Randy Savage would have had to drag Elizabeth down the aisle of Mary Lex Luger. It's the same type of shit.
Then leave it at that. Why the hell do you need to involve the kids if that's going to be the big payoff?
Yeah, well, here's the problem, guys. This isn't 1997. This isn't 2002. The wrestling fans are not the same. The ones who are watching now, who weren't watching them back then, are not the same. We, who have been watching them since before then, are not the same. The problem with TNA, perceived problem, is that they don't realize it. WWE, at least they have changed. Some of it's for the better, some of it not so much. But at least they are trying to stay with the fans. I think that TNA is trying to pull the fans backward in time.
This is the one thing I'm going to say about TNA, and we've been saying this for months. Great in-ring talent, their storylines are shit-ass. They should maybe go to a Ring of Honor-style format where the storylines are secondary to the wrestling.
Exactly.
Because they're not drawing people in with their storylines.
Well, they're turning people
in with their storylines, Tim.
They're tuning people out with their storylines, and I proudly count myself as one of them. I mean, it just pains me. You know, with all of the talent they have in TNA, and I have to say I'm fortunate enough to actually, you know a couple of them from a distance, and I've interviewed a lot of them over the years on WTR Sunday Night, and they're really great people, and they got to do this shit, and the wrestling becomes secondary, and I don't think that we want the wrestling to be secondary anymore.
But it's funny, their ratings have been going up. I believe 2 weeks ago, not the go-home one this week, but the week before, I think was it, according to Nielsen, was their second highest rating ever since they've been on Spike. So it's a double-edged argument.
Well, yeah, the problem is people will come back after a while and check it out and see if anything's changed. Now, you watch. This week there's going to be a bit of a spike in the ratings, pardon the play on words, but there's going to be a bit of a spike in the ratings. People who didn't catch the pay-per-view aren't checking out all of the results from the post-show, post-pay-per-view review shows like this one on the internet. You know, they're going to tune in and check out and find out what happened. And then they're going to go away in droves. It's going to happen. And then the week following, the ratings are going to drop down to like a 1.0, 1.1 again.
Yeah, but it sucks that this pay-per-view was actually good, and instead we're talking about the actual overall company. I kind of feel bad for some of the talent. Like Tim said, I'm friends with some of these talent people going back years, and it sucks that we had some great matches on this show, and instead we've got to do like CSI, TNA.
Yeah, well, tell you what,
something died here. We're trying to figure out what killed it.
There you go. It's it may not be dead, but it's certainly on.
I blame Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga.
It's the egg. Oh my God!
The gobbledygooker.
The gobbledygooker. Yeah.
I would have rather have watched the gobbledygooker than this shit. Duckmaster versus gobbledygooker. Book it as a man of
TNA.
He's sitting there doing a Spanish commentary, too.
Okay, tell you what, guys. We're going to try to get this back on track. We're going to take a look at the winners and losers in TNA against all odds on the other side of this short little timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars. Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
Wrestlecast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
Wrestlecast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Wild Talk Radio. Always imitated. No, that's about it. Always imitated.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Gastron, may I help you?
Oh, yes. I think we should order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you egg? Is it okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean to fry the rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? Do you put chicken in there?
And we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have the green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, wrestling fans, this is Rick the Model Martel. Yes, of course, the one and only the model. You are listening right now to Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, a network with some class, of course. And remember, fans, arrogance is not just a fragrance, it's a way of life.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night. I like that song. I want to hear it more.
That's amazing. I can't believe that's who that is.
I am so not into trance or techno music anymore after having to play it for like 15 years in nightclubs, but I love that version. And Alan, we told you behind the scenes, but I'm gonna tell you publicly right now. The person who sings that song is actually in our chat room right now.
That's great.
Yep. And
rather look into that and talk about the rest of this pay per view, man.
Well, hey, man, if you want a copy of it, talk to me. It's only $2.99 for the special extended remix version. We'll hook you up with the MP3. I have to tell you right now, I'm going to make her blush. That is my wife-to-be. That's Keeks, who was singing that song.
Wow.
She's in the chat room as Keeks2011.
Well, definitely hats off to her. And she's probably way better singer than Mickey James. I don't know if she's a better wrestler than Mickey James, but she's a better singer.
So, yeah, that's the wife-to-be. And it's only 9:43 p.m. on February the 13th here. But if you do the math, add 7 hours to that, that makes it 4:43 in the morning on Valentine's Day in Scotland. So I got to say happy Valentine's Day, Keeks. Well, geez, I want to say your real name because I love it so much, but I won't. Happy Valentine's Day, Keeks, from me.
Aww.
There, see, now I made her blush twice, and I'm going to get in trouble for having Rock play that song because it gives, she gets all embarrassed about it. But damn, she's good. And then I made up for it by giving her a Valentine's Day shout-out.
How can we possibly talk pay-per-view now, man?
Tim?
You want to talk? Yeah.
Is that what we're supposed to say? No.
No. And then call it Cakes. Yeah. Good night, Cakes. No. Inside joke. Holy shit. See, Rock, I told you. Andy Kaufman, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Omega picked up on it immediately. I can tell by that chuckle of his. So, yeah. So if you want the single, guys, let us know. We'll play the song again at the end of the night so you can hear it if you want. And we'll arrange to send you the MP3, and it's only $1 and change. It's going to go to a really worthy cause. Yeah, it's going to go towards, paying for her plane ticket to Canada. So, buy the thing. I'm in so much trouble, I can tell. I'm going to get so yelled at after the show tonight. But I can't help it. I have to brag because she's just
She's awesome.
Yeah, keep bragging for the next hour and some us when I talk about the pay-per-view boss.
There we go. Well, here's
bragging, dude.
Here's the thing about me, okay? I'm
the marriage on the radio right now. Okay?
Yeah, no, that won't happen. But, I'm not very public about things, right? You know, I'm not publicly sappy and mushy and stuff and all this other stuff. And, this is not going to happen on a regular basis. It's not going to happen on an occasional basis. But right now, as she calls it, I'm being a little bit sappy just for her. So. And
sorry,
no,
road
no, yeah, no, 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 no. I don't care what you guys did on CB radio last night, which is probably the same thing you do every single Saturday night around midnight-ish right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with CB radio. Okay, Omega, Omega, that's how you shill. Anyway, you guys.
Yes, I missed a spot earlier. Sorry.
Yes, you did. I don't give a damn what you guys planned out on CB radio. We're not getting married on the internet.
Why not? You're going to get married on TV in 2 weeks in Carolina somewhere.
No, we're not going to. No, not going to happen.
Come on. You could drive through a wedding chapel.
Truck all over again.
No, not going to happen. And, oh, I'm getting an instant message right now from a guy called Vinny Fever, formerly of Can-Am Wrestling. He wants to come on to the show next Sunday night and talk about this new venture that he's got planned out. And he wants to talk a little bit about his brushes with success to this point. So next weekend, it looks like we could be expecting a little bit of a blast from a little bit of the past professional wrestler called Vinny Fever gracing us with his presence right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network next Sunday night. So... I think that's pretty cool, Alan.
All right, man. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'll fill you in on who the guy is and everything, so, you know, no worries. You can come on and talk to him because you, you know, do indie stuff.
Yeah, and some of the indie stuff I do is better than what I watch tonight.
There you go. Yeah, so you'll know what kind of indie federation-style questions to ask him, which will ease the burden on everybody else. But we'll talk about that later on. Let's take a really quick look at the matches and the results, guys, and then we'll bugger right off from there and do other things. After the X Division number one contendership countout and X Division championship match with Kazarian retaining, we had six-man tag team with Gunnar Murphy and Rob Terry versus Beer Money and Scott Steiner. Beer Money and Scott Steiner wins, and I got to tell you right now, the match didn't really draw me in too much. I mean, it didn't suck, but it just... It didn't peak either. It plateaued, except for the finish. Mace, I don't know if you caught this or not, but we got treated to a Frankensteiner.
I did catch this. Not overly impressed with Gunnar and Murphy. And, yeah, Scott Steiner breaking out the Frankensteiner. Well, it's good to see that the old bulky bastard can still do it. But I must bring up a little grievance that I have with it. And it's something that I've picked up later on in the show as well. It's little spots that go for too long and tend to break the flow of the match, despite the great reaction that they get. The first one being in this match, being that Beer Money chant, yell, taunt thing that they do. Get some great reaction from the crowd, but really it breaks the flow of the match and seems to slow everything down. I'm not a fan of that. I'd rather have the wrestling continue than spend 5 minutes on a taunt spot.
So it'd be bad if Omega and I all of a sudden just went, BEER!
No.
Okay. I gotta agree with him. It's he said it during our production thing. It's almost like the Devon Get the Tables thing. You know it's coming, but you're just like, okay.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree. It reminds me of something that is stuck into my brain back when Big Show was the Giant in WCW. Mace, I'm sure you'll know this very well. Giant's got the guy on the ropes, and he stops, and he does the, with the slow rising hand in the air. He does the version of it now in WWE, but it doesn't kill the momentum when he does it now. It would always just stop the momentum of the match, because he's going to be doing that, and then all of a sudden his opponent gets the upper hand before he winds up taking control and winning that match or whatever. But you remember this from WCW?
I do remember him doing that in WCW, but the thing is, with that type of taunt, it only takes, 10-15 seconds. The beer money taunt takes anywhere up to 2.5 minutes, depending on how long they want to, squat down in the middle of the ring and stomp their feet like little children with a hissy fit.
So, yeah, I can't find anything to argue with you about as far as the momentum killer on that one. I can say that I was really happy to see the Frankensteiner Omega.
Unfortunately, I did miss that, too. I was there, any audible creaking noises, or did nothing snapped at all? Is he actually got a legitimate one off?
Well, it looked when he delivered it that he fell funny on the back of his neck, but, he popped right up and seemed to be all right. But other than that, no, I didn't hear any creaking. Alan, what'd you think of the spot?
Super Frankensteiner, man. The old guy can still do it. It was the only thing good in this whole match. It almost felt like they were sitting there doing this creative thing, going, okay, we got this whole hole in the thing here. Let's do Immortal Black and White versus Fortune, whatever colors Fortune are now. That's almost how this felt. This felt like an old school NWO faction split match, and it didn't really do anything. It was just that. I was just looking at my watch going, so, yeah. What's next after this?
Uh-huh.
And I feel bad, because there's some good folks in that match. Beer Money's great, and I've seen Gunner, Phil Shatter, a couple times on internet shows from other promotions, and he's a really good performer, but, you take that indie guy now, you stick him under the TNA rules, and you can do this, but you can't do that.
Yeah, what about Rob Terry playing the role of Scott Norton in the match tonight?
I didn't think of it until you said that. It's pretty cool. That's why Esther Rockin's a god of internet radio, man.
But that's another up-and-coming talent. Rob Terry has potential to be one of these Wrecking Crew-type characters, yet I saw Robert Roode clothesline him out of the ring at one point like he was a 10-pound weakling. When they got Terry in the ring with Steiner, I'm like, now this is where you make or break this guy. And then I blinked, and he was out of the ring.
Yeah, I mean, they're so inconsistent with Rob Terry, because he came in like a bulldozer. He was almost in the Goldberg role, where he'd take a little bit of offense, but then as soon as he started dishing it out, the match was all but over. And now they've gone back to, honestly, I don't think they have any idea with him. It's like they gave up on the angle after, 2 months tops.
Yeah. So there it is. Your winners, Beer Money and Scott Steiner. Next match is, okay, can we end this feud now? The Pope versus Samoa Joe. Mace, you've got something to say about this. I know you do.
He's out again, dude. Wake him. This is how he was during the show, fam.
Wait, Omega does it really great. Omega, wake him up.
What is this, Mace? Wiggles, wake up Jeff?
Mace.
Get up! Fuck off!
There he is.
Seriously, I pretty much fell asleep. I don't remember the match happening. Because I think I was researching other shit at the time, or maybe there was actually some. No. I can't even remember what was on the Grammys at this point, because I remember at one point I got distracted by some dude dressed up as a flamboyant multicolored peacock and having Muppets around him, and there was some crap on the pay-per-view, so I'm like, the fuck is on my television?
Muppets were on the Grammys?
Oh, I have no idea. They weren't the Muppets, but they were Muppet-like characters.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I thought for a second you were going to tell me that Kermit the Frog was there tonight.
Well, no, he's missing since the Ultimate Warrior took him backstage at the WTR Awards. I don't know what happened there.
Whoa.
gave him a good skronking.
Yeah, should replay that one sometime soon.
There you go.
All right, so yeah, Samoa Joe beats the Pope. Pope submits exceedingly quickly while locked in the rear naked choke. I mean, the choke got slapped on him, and he's tapping. And then, of course, he goes and he suckers Joe, and Joe winds up bleeding on the forehead, gets a nice cut after being DDE'd into the ring post. And you know this feud is going to continue.
Yippee.
And we are so excited to hear that it's going to continue another month.
With poor Okada doing Kato, why?
Yeah, this is the point right now where we need that Bruce Willis clip from the Die Hard movies where he goes, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Poor Katsujita Okada. I mean, at one point he was going to be suicide, and now someone else is suicide. So now, okay, you're doing basically the role that made Bruce Lee in the United States in the 60s. So, cool.
Yeah, there
make you
go. Yeah. Next match on the card was the TNA Knockouts Championship. Last Knockout standing, the champion Madison Rain taking on Queen Country. And I still say take the O out of country. Think about that for a second. Mickey
Whoa.
James. Oh, you got that.
Wow.
Tim bringing the heavy lumber tonight.
Who did Mickey James kill in your family?
Yeah, there you go. I just say take the O out of country, and then you automatically assume I'm saying nasty things about Mickey James. I hate country music. I'd probably be more of a fan. You know, again, Alan, some of these are grenades. I'll lob them out. 8 seconds later, you'll groan.
I'm grown watching this whole damn match. I was just, why? Another gimmick match with the ladies. Just let them go to the damn ring and wrestle. A little hard to do that, it seems, in this promotion. You had, what, Falls Count Anywhere on a roller coaster before. Now it's Coal Miner Glove on Madison Rain. I mean, whatever the hell just happened to wrestling, like May said, put him out there and wrestle.
Oh, come on. These are wrestlers with tits. They can't wrestle.
Of course.
Whoa. I know a couple that would turn you into a pretzel, Omega, so be careful.
There's, okay, just for clarity.
They're on this roster recently.
Hey, let me.
Yeah, Alan, your name's not Omega. Go ahead, Omega.
Let me talk so I don't get my ass kicked. Because Tim can call people. It's just a caricature of TNA attitude towards women's wrestling these days. They used to have a really, really good division, and now they're packing on gimmicks because they're out of interesting ideas. A Divas match with a gimmick is a bit of a novelty since it doesn't happen often, but once again with TNA, it's overkill. You do it too many times, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Can we please just do something about Tara interfering? Does she have to always fucking come out? Fine. You're going to have it with the screwed finish and the brass knucks wind up knocking Mickey James out. But please, figure something the fuck out. Like, do a ref bump. I don't give a guy goddamn. Just, like, have a reason for him to like fall out of the ring for a second, and before he can climb back in, she gets brass knucked. I'm fine with that. Enough using Tara as interference, Mace.
Well, there's not really much else they can do with her at the moment because, well, she's practically injured. You know, the hand thing isn't there for decoration, people. It's there for recovery purposes.
Yeah.
But, you know, what else are you supposed to do with somebody who's out of action, yet you're still paying a paycheck to?
Well, let me ask you this. This was a Last Knockout Standing match, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do a Last Man Standing, a Last Diva Standing, a Last Knockout Standing, a Last Chick Standing, a Last whatever Standing, aren't they generally no DQs?
Absolutely.
So why the fuck go to such elaborate extremes to hide from the ref the fact you're going to knock her with brass knucks? It's no DQ.
the girls. They don't know how to wrestle.
Again, Omega.
Again. Caricature.
The views of Omega do not represent any of those that were right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you know what? Omega's the last person I'd ever thought we'd hear that disclaimer in favor of. You know,
okay. You've ever listened to any other episode of WTR, you know I love the women's wrestling when they do it right. When TNA is doing it this way, no, not right.
Now, Wrestling Fanatics going to agree from the chat room. Yeah, I know it's the storyline, but fuck, just get on with it. Do something, because, again, it's not a case of a short-term memory or anything like that. With, you know, here I am with my short-term memory.
You got an excuse, Tim. You're old.
Now, fuck you. Just fuck you very much. It's not a case
very
of being,
much.
It's not a case of being bored by a storyline that's dragged out. It's a case of it's not. It's no longer interesting as the focal point.
And it just makes Madison look weak as crap as a champ, doesn't it, guys?
Exactly. What
that's something I've noticed more and more. What the hell is it with wrestling lately and making heel champions look weak as shit by having constant interference being run?
Yeah,
for Flair back in the day, but jeez.
Well, even then, it wasn't a constant thing that made him look weak. It made him look dangerous.
Yeah, there's different ways you can do it. Either, okay, he's dangerous, he's willing to do anything, or, okay, you have to keep your guard up because he's sneaky, he'll take any win he can get. These days, it's mostly interference. It's not the fact that, the champion is sneaky, it's not and clever, or they're dangerous, it's that they are incredibly weak and need help every single time.
Yeah. Now here's the question that Wrestling Fanatic is asking in the chat room concerning this match. You win this feud at this pay per view. Mickey wins the title. Now for those of you who may have just tuned in, that's not exactly what happened. We're doing an alternate. Who does Mickey defend the title against in her first title defense?
Sarita, because didn't Sarita beat her recently in a tape fist match?
Not to bring in logic, but wouldn't you have the recently dethroned champion, Madison Rayne, given her immediate rematch?
You want logic? That
would be the one that you'd put on Impact. What you'd want to build towards is something else. You know, unfortunately, besides Madison Rayne, there is no one else in their division at the moment that you could really look at putting into a title spot.
Yeah, unfortunately, they've pretty much depleted their own talent pool by constant firings and misuses.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good question. It's not the easiest one to answer. Anyway, okay, so Madison Rayne retains next match.
Before we quit, I got one last. One thing I noticed, and this comes off Impact.
Yeah.
I think it was Madison Rayne who mentioned Mickey wants to have a shot at being the top women's division or promotion in the world. The second that was said, I went, what, they're going to broadcast Shimmer?
Ooh, wow. Shimmer and WSU are sitting there going, thanks, guys.
Exactly. Those two feds, if you want women's wrestling, go and check out Shimmer or WSU, because they're a billion times better than any shit you're going to see on WWE or TNA television these days.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Moving on, next match, Matt Hardy taking on Rob Van Dam. And during the pay-per-view, we were all talking in our pay-per-view chat room. It's an absolute shame Rob Van Dam being basically pushed to the moon in his first year. After that, then he's jobbing out to, you know, the latest WWE reject. Surprisingly enough, Rob Van Dam comes up victorious in this one. This feud's not over yet, is it, mate?
No, unfortunately not. We're probably going to see another month of Matt Hardy's amazing promos that save pay-per-views and his matches that also save pay-per-views and, you know, increases ratings by him taking a fart or something. That's the fucking egotist who needs to have his head chopped off and then, blown up with some leftover explosions from Transformers 3.
There you go. Yeah.
Omega, dude, clarification, there are no leftover explosions in a Bay movie.
There you go. Yeah, there's nothing left over. Yeah. Omega, could you possibly do not do what Mace did and couch your real feelings with flowery words on this?
Okay, how about I try to actually describe my opinions without killing somebody? Just as a little like a change of pace. I don't know. I'm upset. Because you're right. I mean, they pushed Rob Van Dam to the moon. He's supposed to be the next big star in TNA. And all of a sudden, oh, wait. RVD was the one completely screwed out of a title. So we're going to run with Mr. Anderson and Hardy for a few months. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, fortunately, Rob Van Dam wins this particular match. Now, right before that happens, Matt Morgan comes out. You see, guys, talking amongst each other in chat, you just got to relax and let me direct the show because this is how I drive. Just before the match, Matt Morgan.
What's up with the tree?
There you go.
Yeah. Matt, you got to keep in mind, okay, me being in Florida, I know how the... Yeah, me being in Florida, I know how the elderly drive. You never know what direction they're going to go.
All right, that's enough. Moving on.
High five, Omega.
Avoiding the train wreck as best I can, Matt Morgan comes out, cuts a promo, cuts all the Hernandez. And the one thing that struck absolutely everybody watching this, at least all of us, is the fact that TNA has been doing these bury the hate or eliminate the hate ads and promos. And then they have Hernandez come out and get all racist up in Morgan's face, Mace?
Yeah, racism aside, I just thought he looked like the retard at the back of the bus with the looking windows. you look at him with his head sideways and his eyes wide open. He's like, well, you know what? Fuck off. Just stay silent, border toss people to their next break, and, you know, then we'll like you again.
I'm from Jersey. You from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. Anyway, Saturday Night Live, look it up in the archives. Alan, what do you think about this promo?
Ridiculous, because I'll be the first to say, I was going to type it into our production room going, wait a minute, this is the Eliminate the Hate promotion, but we're doing a racial angle here. That's so brilliant.
Yeah, and
way to get marketing talking to creative.
Yeah, I understand there are a lot of Cubans and such in Florida because that's just the nature of the beast. When they defect, the closest landmass happens to be the penis state, or the United States penis. There you go. Whatever. But
my country's got a big dick, and we're proud of it.
Yeah, no, it's not that big. It's pretty limp. Anyway.
Wow.
Whoa. Getting back on track.
We ain't.
I figured that out like an hour ago. It's like,
well, you're the one who was embarrassed. Went out the window.
Yeah, Alan, you're the one who was embarrassed by almost swearing. What do we tell you? It's WTR. Fuck off.
Is that on a t-shirt, man?
Hey, Mace.
I'll work on it.
There you go.
There you go. Copyright that bad boy.
Okay, that's all that matters. So, yeah, is it fair to say that Florida is the new Chicano Latino country, first off?
As opposed to all the other parts of where that big landmass called Mexico is?
Yeah.
Where apparently Hernandez was stealing the show every night he went out there, but I've seen reports where he was basically mid-carding down there. And
that's
Sean Hernandez.
Alan, whatever you do, don't call this racist thing that he came out and did. Don't call it reverse racism. Racism is racism.
period. It doesn't matter where you're from, what color your skin is, or how you talk, don't call it reverse racism. Racism is racism. Reverse racism would be the absolute opposite of what we got, which is everybody gets along and no black people get hanged in Arkansas.
No, you're only racist if you're white.
There you go. So, well, yeah, that's bullshit. Don't fucking get me started.
I have to have a new cue playing in my head right now. Everybody is a little bit racist, sometimes.
I love this. This musical ever.
My one time OTL, I ended up talking with them about that for like 45 minutes. We just went on about having a cue.
Yeah, I've got this image in my head from a TV sitcom. A little black kid is like 6 years old shouting out, "That's racist!" Over and over and over again.
This is like an inhumane torture watching this pay-per-view, and I'm sorry to say it.
This is pretty much where it goes from meh to ooh, holy
I kept
God.
Waiting for Soledad O'Brien or Christiane Amanpour to come walk into the ring with a microphone and going, "This is just breaking out. Screw what's going on in Egypt. This is way more important here in this ring with TNA. We're doing race relations here. Cool."
Now, here's something great that we get to talk about next. It's the street fight, Bully Ray versus Devon.
Oh, no.
And actually gets to be a bully. And, of course, Devon's kids come out and get their asses handed to them. Mace, what happened?
What happened? I don't know. Something happened. What the fuck are we talking about again? I'm seriously blanking yet once more.
Street
it's fight. Like watching the pay-per-view all over again.
It's been, Mace, this is the part your memory is trying to suppress.
You guys call me old. Holy fuck.
Yeah, but Tim, I've taken chair shots to my head. You're just fucking old.
No, I took a chair shot to the head, only it was with a 2x4.
Well, that's not a chair shot to the head, is it?
Yeah, I guarantee you that my head injury was worse than all the ones you've ever had put together. So, moving on. Mm.
Yes, okay, so we're talking about Bully Ray versus Devon and his kids being... One being put through a table, the other one laying knocked out. And he's standing, he's over the top of them like, you know, one of those In the Hood movies, and you got the mother holding her dead child in her arms. Oh no, not my baby, not my baby! Fucking Jesus Christ, Devon.
The Russo's been watching Boys in the Hood recently?
Yeah. That was the movie that popped into my head when I saw that happening. I'm like, what the fuck, where's Ice Cube when we need him?
Boys in the Hood. Good movie. Not so good when you put it in a wrestling ring.
Damn right. Leave that shit out of my wrestling.
There you go. Absolute momentum killer. This thing just... It even killed the crowd off, Mace.
Killed the crowd off, killed the crew off. It did everything but, you know, literally kill everybody. I was praying for a bomb to blow the joint up so it would be somewhat exciting.
There you go, Alan.
I gotta agree, it was a horrible momentum kill. It was almost 8 minutes, it seemed like, after this thing was going on. And the one thing I've noticed, especially about TNA, when you want security to show up, they don't. And when you don't want security to show up, you can't get them out of the ring fast enough. Hello, two minors in the ring getting beat down. Orlando PD wasn't doing anything this night, and they're in the building. I can tell you from having been there. They usually stand next to where I was sitting. It was horrible. It was totally horrible.
I'm not talking about this match. Let's go back. Let's move on. Special stipulation.
Oh, we're going to go from one horrible match to the next one? Good job, Bob.
Great. Stipulation was horrible. Go ahead, Omega.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you skipping me? I don't have to talk about this match? Thank you.
Okay, you know what? Go ahead. You talk about this match.
Okay, this is what I meant by, okay, Daddy just slapped Mommy at the dinner table, and we have to pretend it didn't happen. It wasn't the fact... It was more the fact that, okay, security's taking a sweet-ass time keeping these non-wrestlers from getting the shit beat out of them. Just, it went so fucking long. Yeah. Like, okay, we get the point. You're mean. You're a bully, which is the dumbest name I think I've ever heard for a wrestler.
Bully Ray.
Bully Ray.
I think it's some Teddy Roosevelt looking British dude when I hear that name.
Bully Ray. It sounds like one of those like generic characters from a fighting game that you just get you beat up and move on to the boss. Okay.
I'm just retarded. Okay, now can we move to the special stipulation match where it was a good wrestling match, but that dumbass fucking stuff?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Kurt Angle versus Jeff Jarrett. Here's the stipulation. If Kurt wins, he gets to take his kids home. Yay! If Jeff wins, Kurt's got to act like the father of the bride and walk Karen down that fucking aisle for the renewal of their goddamn vows. First off, I'm sick and fucking tired of Karen Angle. She's nice to look at. Keep her mouth shut. Keep her out of the storylines. Okay? Secondly, I'm fucking tired of hearing about this bullshit between Kurt and his ex-wife and Jeff and the chick he's fucking now. Seriously. Okay, he married her first, Omega, but still.
Okay.
Discuss. Go ahead.
I'll just out there discuss. I think we can just, like, have this universal rule at this point. Like, let's not involve non-wrestling family into anything. Because it didn't work for Dominic. It didn't work for Devon tonight. Certainly, as hell, didn't work for this match. Every time I've ever seen it, it has been horrible. And I, for the life of me, I don't know why they keep trying it like it actually works.
Well, what's worse than that is aside from involving a family angle in a pay-per-view, Alan, they did it not once tonight, but twice.
Yeah, and booked it horribly to put them back to back. I don't understand. Yeah. Or to steal your thunder. I mean, that just seems like what everybody was trying to do here. It's like, well, if you didn't cry with this, how about we cry with this one here? I mean, God.
I mean, I've had enough. It's ridiculous. It's retarded. It's got no place. Seriously. The only time you should involve family members is if the other members of the family happen to be professional wrestlers. Now, I don't want any grief when I bring up this example. The Hart family.
Both here, you're fine.
The Hart family, the In Your House pay-per-view that they had here in Calgary when Stu and Helen are still alive and Brett was still big news and he's fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bruce goes and throws his Coke on Austin and Austin is supposed to think, and you see it in the documentary Wrestling with Shadows, Austin is supposed to think it's Stu, so he goes after Stu. And you could tell that Stu was having the time of his life getting involved like that. And it worked because, you know, the family was in the business.
I think I was one of the Hart kids that jumped into that ring that night. Yeah, I totally agree with you. We talked about this Tuesday night on Online World of Wrestling Radio where, you know, you had the situation go back to the 80s of Cheryl Roberts and Jake Snake Roberts and Ravishing Rick Rude. You can go to the Mid-South where you had the Dirty White Boy, Tony Anthony, and the Dirty White Girl and Chris Champion involved and stuff. And then you go to World Class where you had Jimmy Garvin and Precious and David Von Erich. But last I checked, him and Omega and Mace and the audience listening, Karen Angle's not a trained professional wrestler.
No, she's not. And in addition to that, you know, I'm pretty sure the kids haven't quite finished the training school either.
No, they're busy being in Taylor Swift videos.
Yeah. I mean, call it an educated fucking guess, but still, really. Sorry, Daddy Jeff, I don't know how to do a front face lock yet. You know, what the fuck?
I can admit, I met those kids at Slammiversary 2007, the children he had with Jill, and they were very well-mannered, very well-spoken, and very approachable with him, and it kind of bothered me to see them on TV last week, or just like, Mace, I think, was the one that said it. They just had that deer in headlights look of like, what do I want to do here? seriously. Like I said earlier, whoever thought that Kurt Angle was going to win, raise your hands. They would have said there are no hands up because there's no money in Kurt Angle winning.
Not yet.
Like when we talk, well, eventually there's going to be money in him winning. It's like when we talk about WWE a few months ago. There was no real money in Cena beating Wade Barrett to destroy the Nexus. It was more money in him being in the Nexus. And as you said to him, on paper, great wrestling match. Angle and Jarrett, take away that the ex-wife is involved in there. Go back to, I think it was Victory Road 2008-7. These guys have had some great matches over the last few years, but I just couldn't shake that stipulation that's in there. And maybe it was also just I couldn't shake the stink of the match before it, that I couldn't enjoy this like I should have. Maybe if I watch it on replay, it'll be better in my mind.
Well, yeah, no, the match itself was fantastic. A lot of false finishes, a lot of great chain wrestling at the beginning. That was just really overshadowed by the Bully Ray Devon match right before it. It was really hard to get into. Otherwise, it would have been exceedingly entertaining. And just when you thought the match was over, sure enough, somebody's shoulder was popping off the mat 2 9/10. Then we get Karen Angle distracting after Jeff tapped. Ref's got his back to the action because Karen's in the ring yelling. You know,
see, I never understand why anyone would break a submission hold when someone jumps up on the apron, because eventually the referee will turn around again, and by then your opponent is probably passed out or has lost a leg.
Especially with the angle lock or the ankle lock, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Okay, you don't, you know, don't let it go. Don't get up and start arguing with your ex-wife and bitching.
Yeah.
That you divorced her because she was all crappy about leaving the toilet seat up, or what, you know, whatever the fuck.
Kurt, you've lost 1,600 matches doing this. Just keep it on.
I mean, what's the difference between stupidity and experience? Stupidity is doing the same fucking thing over again. Experience is learning from when you fucked up the first time. And it's an insult to the average person's average intelligence. You don't have to be a fucking genius to figure this out. Seriously, you don't.
Well, apparently you do, because TNA hasn't got anyone to do it.
So, but anyway, there it is, right? So, Jeff Jarrett wins thanks to a well-timed chair after some well-timed interference by Karen Angle. And Kurt places his wrestling shoes in the ring, signifying what? Is he quitting wrestling again?
I think they were just hurting his heels.
Yeah, there you go. He got a blister.
I don't know. I'm tired of the
weird
thing.
It was really weird to see him do that. And I guess Taz was the one that was brought it up. Of like, he took his shoes off. The average audience member probably is sitting there going, I got
what
a negative.
That?
It's like,
yeah.
He's like, what, he hurt his ankle in the ring and he took his shoes off to go, ow, my blister, crap.
No, he had a bet with the ref, so the ref won the boots.
Yeah, he's like, do you have an extra pair of these? Absolutely. Here, take these. Cool, thank you.
Hey, ref, I'll get him with the ankle lock and I'll win. Yeah, I bet you won't. What do you want to bet? Well, if I'm right, then I get your boots.
And autograph them.
There you go. So, boom. And they go to charity auctions for money for displaced children who are forced to live with their stepfathers.
I was going to say erase the hate and keep this joke going, but okay.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever.
Thank you.
Fucking works. So, there it is. Yeah, and okay, it's not over, so we get another match. Let's hope that the wrestling is as good, if not better, the next time these two guys meet, which will be at the next pay-per-view. Let's also hope that they drop all the stupid fucking stipulations and other assorted bullshit.
I'm starting to notice here, has anything actually concluded in this pay-per-view? Because every match seems to end with, well, you've got another match coming down the line.
Yeah, no kidding. Where are all the payoff matches that we would like to see? You know, I mean, at least a couple of them every pay-per-view, please. Can we just have the go-home match in a couple angles?
That would be easy.
I think it might be a little too easy. We are talking TNA after all. So let's move on. Let's move on to the main event. Get this over with. The TNA World Heavyweight Championship ladder match. Ken Anderson comes in as the champion, taking on the motherfucking superstar, the Antichrist, Jeff Hardy, better known as the Crackhead Kick Kid. The Crackhead Kid.
One or the other, whichever one.
Yeah, I mean, okay, take your pick. I think Muhammad Ali was the only one who had more names.
Gosh.
So.
That and Billy Gunn.
Now, there's some nice spots in this ladder match, but let's face it, guys. WWE does a ladder match 100 times better than TNA did this one. Not to say that they didn't try. Just too many botches and near botches. And let's take a look at the end. They screwed that up, too.
At least according to Mace, they did. I don't know.
Well, Jeff Hardy was supposed to stay on top of the ladder when Anderson got knocked off and knocked down and out of the ring. And he's supposed to hold on to the belt and pull it down and win there. Didn't happen. He lost his hold on the belt. Must have been because his hands were a little bit too dry because they were covered with a suspicious-looking white powdery substance.
Aha.
Okay, that's my theory. That's my theory. I'm not confirming or alleging anything. Just a theory. Conspiracy or otherwise, just a theory.
So he didn't talc up properly going into the match is what you're saying?
Okay, yeah, sure. That suspicious-looking white powder was talc. Right. We're talking Jeff Hardy, Alan.
Yeah, I know what we're talking about.
So, yeah, it ain't the kind of powdered sugar you find on your donut, dude.
Yeah, I loved his tribute to the 80s miniseries of V with one side of his face looking like one of those characters. It was spot on.
I am so sick and tired of seeing that fucking face paint on this retard.
Or was he going for Harvey Two-Face?
At least he's actually painting something on there instead of just, you know, someone before the match sprayed a super soaker of neon green paint on his face.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, he might wind up getting something else white painted on his face after Wednesday. You never know.
Wow.
Ooh, he went there. Yes, I did, kid.
Even I
so, yeah. Even you weren't going to. Yeah, well, okay. So I'm sorry, but I'm angry because the pay-per-view was just a bunch of great wrestling fucked up completely by a bunch of stupid, overwritten storylines. And this is why I'm negative on TNA. You like TNA, I'm happy for you. But if you like TNA, you probably like stuff like, I don't know, Beverly Hills 90120.
90210.
Donna Martin graduates, man.
Yeah, okay, 90210, whatever. I don't know Omega. I don't fucking watch it.
I don't either, but you know how many times I had to hear that fucking number?
Yeah, probably a couple. Oh, yeah, here's one. Rock, yeah, that's great. If you like TNA, you must listen to that jerk-off podcast on Monday nights.
Wow.
There's a line in the sand, and you're just looking at it going, yeah, to hell with this. Jump over. Yahoo!
Well, I was just waiting for somebody to tell me to quit picking on Anthony DeBlasi, that's all.
That's basically Tim Sands' attitude. I'm over the line. No, not over. Not over. Not.
Yeah, that's like the I'm not touching you game.
Exactly.
You play that with your older sister when she doesn't want to play just to piss her off. I'm not touching you, and you get your finger like half a centimeter. From her, like quarter inch. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Mom! Tim, stop it! Tim, stop it. What? I'm not doing anything. I'm not touching her. I'm not touching you. I'm not
Welcome to the backstage booking room at TNA Wrestling.
I mean, I swear to God, that's what it is, you know? Fuck. So, there it is. I'm sorry. Very, very average TNA pay-per-view. One of the least entertaining against all odds I've ever seen. This rates a 1.1 impact program as far as I'm concerned. Alan.
It was the middle of the road. Like you said, nothing got resolved except a lot of these are going to be matches we're going to see in a few weeks at Victory Road. So.
And you go, Mace.
It was crap.
There you go. Or Omega.
Simple. Even the main event couldn't save it.
Yeah, Omega.
I hope everyone who paid for this is mourning the loss of the money they will never see again, because it died for nothing.
That's a shame. I hate to see money go to waste like that. Anyway, I think that now is just about the time we take our second time out of the evening. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to tell you about a brand new drinking game, and we can thank Alan Wojcik for it. Every time you hear Alan Wojcik talk, whenever he drops a name, you take a drink. We'll be back right after this.
Doesn't mean you go around committing hate crime. Look around and you will find no one's really colorblind. Maybe it's a fact we all should face. Everyone makes judgments based on race. No, not big judgments like who to hire or who to buy a newspaper from.
No.
No, just little judgments like thinking that Mexican busboys will learn to speak goddamn English.
Right.
Everyone's a little bit racist today. So everyone's a little bit racist. Okay.
Come on, feel the noise. Just rock your boy. We'll get wild, wild, wild.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or anything goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live, all you got to do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Wild Talkers, Tim Stein here to tell you about our current contest. We call it Show Us Your WTR. If you do, you can win. All you have to do is take a photo of yourself, family, or friends holding a Wild Talk Radio sign.
Alrighty then.
Then send it in to us.
You got mail.
Once we receive your photo, you are automatically entered to win a DVD of your choice.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
All entries will be eligible for our grand prize drawing at the end of the contest period. Grand prize will be announced at a later date. Great weekly programming here at Wild Talk Radio, totally free for the listeners. But now, we are paying you for being loyal fans.
Holy crap, dude!
Be as creative as you want with your pictures. Just make sure you send them to admin@wildtalkradio.com as soon as possible.
No!
And ladies, if you want to write Wild Talk Radio across your chest, snap a pic, you win automatically.
Swing!
We're just nice people that way. Just make sure you are at least the age of majority so nobody gets in trouble. Just dirty looks. Yeah. If you ladies do choose this option, include your DVD choice when you send the photo. And you don't have to show your face if you feel brave enough to send this picture.
Does this seem weird?
Hey, it pays to listen to Wild Talk Radio.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
me penetrate you. You let me complicate you.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. It's at this time that we would like to wish our very best to Jerry the King Lawler, whose mother, Hazel, passed away today. We are hoping for the best for you and your family in this time, and we are very hurt here at the Wild Talk Radio Network to hear this news and report it to all of you. So our condolences to Lawler and his family.
Absolutely. Our hearts collectively go out to the Lawler family at this time especially.
How the hell are you supposed to follow on from that?
Well, it's sad news, and we offered up our respects, gave a moment of silence, and I think now we should just dive in and let's do some speculation about who the guest host of WrestleMania is going to be announced as tomorrow night on Raw.
God, don't let a viewer think it is.
Beaver!
Yeah, the hairpiece, he's coming, kids, and I have an 8-year-old who's in third grade, and a lot of them in her school have the Bieber fever, I guess it's called. And I asked her to say, "As some of your friends, are they wrestling fans?" And none of them came back as wrestling fans, Tim. So if this is what it is, is Vince expecting these teenage tweeners, I think they're called, to say, "Mom, Dad, Bieber's only going to be on for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but can we drop $60 for a wrestling show?"
You know what I would tell Owen? Absolutely nothing, because he listens to good music.
Right.
So he wouldn't want to watch it just for Bieber. But I gotta tell you, when I first heard the speculation and when I first heard that it might be this kid, I thought initially, somebody said Bieber. And I was thinking one of two things. Either Bieber Cleaver is coming back. Oh God. You know, Jerry Mathers. Yeah, Jerry Mathers, because he's in Florida, so he's not far from Atlanta. Or they made a deal with the Hooters restaurant chain.
Well, we used to have a Beaver Cleaver knockoff in the WWF, so could have been him.
Yeah, true.
It's one of the headbangers.
Beaver Cleavage.
Yeah, Beaver Cleavage. Yeah, which reminds me of the new TV show on Out TV. I saw an ad for. It's called Leave It at Beaver.
Wow.
Sounds like something that would be on Bravo.
Or Anything Goes.
Well, Out TV is the homosexual network.
Right.
So, anyway.
Tim,
in case the name Out TV was too subtle.
Yeah.
Tim, I have a question.
What?
Who the fuck's Justin Bieber?
There you go! Thank you, Ozzy fucking Osbourne. Yes.
Love you, Ozzy.
Well, let's just for shits and giggles, pretend that it's going to be announced that it's The Rock coming back to host, Mace.
Yawn.
Let's pretend.
Okay, to put that another way. It's going to be printed on a t-shirt. Meh.
It's already printed on a t-shirt.
Soon
to be available at ShotWTR, courtesy of Mace. And you'll see it on your Ustream screen right now, as a matter of fact. For everything else, there's meh.
That is a good one.
That showed up just at the right fucking time. I don't know if Rock planned that or if it was just serendipitous, but it couldn't have been better if it was planned. So... Yeah, okay, for shits and giggles, let's say it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Alan.
Why not? Product tie-in, he brings some of the kids from, they introduced the Tough Enough people. They're going to be seen the next night on Monday Night Raw anyway, so there you go.
Yeah, but what's the point?
Before
what's
Raw,
the point?
Sorry.
Yeah, but would there really be any point to having it being Austin if he's just going to be hosting Tough Enough already? You've already got exposure for the guy. He's already got a project for the WWE.
It's Bob Barker. They're going to put him in the Hall of Fame. Yippee.
And the winner of the main event gets a new car.
And in the next Old State commercial.
Tell them what they win, Johnny. It's a new car.
This isn't anything new, guys. They've been doing this for years with the celebrity guest host and hostess and timekeeper and, Buff Steve Austin's bald head guy and everything like that.
We've always had special celebrity appearances at WrestleMania. Okay, that's a staple. That's a given. But I don't think they've ever actually described him as the host of WrestleMania before.
It's Seacrest. Man, it's got to be Seacrest. The guy doesn't sleep as it is from the magazine article I read on him. Like, he does a radio show. He does American Idol. He does this. He produces a Kardashian show. Maybe it's Kim Kardashian. She's going to sleep with a WWE star on the reality show.
He does this. If he was a bigger whore, he'd be Lita.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it. Okay, there you go. It's going to be Ryan Seacrest. He's going to show up in a dress, and he's going to say, Seacrest! Out!
Thank God.
Out of the closet.
Out of the closet.
Someone know.
At least somebody caught that. Thanks, Omega.
Hey, Super, thanks for asking.
Okay, Omega, for shits and giggles, the special guest host is Lita.
We're driving to Atlanta, dude. I'll start driving out. Meet you in Florida.
And John Cena at WrestleMania faces his biggest obstacle yet, genital herpes.
Shut up, Tim. Shut up.
Since when did Wrestle Talk Radio turn to CB Radio?
It's called the product promotional tie-in, Mace.
Which you can hear Saturday nights, midnight, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes. So they induct Rita into the Hall of Fame the night before, and then she gets everybody at WrestleMania.
Yeah, there you go.
No, she gets everyone the night before WrestleMania.
There you go.
Oh, it looks like all the male wrestlers are suffering from jock itch. Well, that's right, Jerry. They're scratching. I'm sure that they got problems. I told them to stay away from the seafood. What are you talking about? I think they had crab for dinner.
Okay. The male roster is depleted. Your WrestleMania main event, Chavo Guerrero versus Goldust.
All right.
Special guest referee is Vicky again.
Yeah. Or her daughter, who debuted for FCW this weekend.
Well, good for her. So what?
Saul Guerrero.
A Guerrero that can wrestle? Wow.
Yeah, we haven't seen that
one of those since Eddie.
Beat you to it. All right, guys. 2:21:11. You've seen the new promo. You've heard the Johnny Cash song, Ain't No Grave Can Hold My Body Down. How many people still think it's going to be Sting showing up on the 21st?
I wish it was Sting. I don't think it's going to be, but I wish it was. Because even if it is Taker, I'm still, like, scratching my head. Why would they be this subversive about it? Because no Taker promo ever has been subtle for the last 10 years about when he comes back.
Yeah, they've always let you pretty much know that the dead man is rising yet once again. Here's speculation, and it ties in with the guest host for WrestleMania. The second promo clearly shows a pair of cowboy boots. Speculation. Not as a wrestler, but as the guest host for WrestleMania, special guest referee for the match between Undertaker and whoever the fuck he faces, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Yawn.
Man. I know, I love seeing Shawn, but really, no.
So you're going to have him come out and kill the streak?
But let him stay gone.
Yeah, and that goes against everything that he said. I'm done. I'm never, 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 never. Oh, sorry, Ric Flair. I didn't mean to crowd your spotlight. Never, never, never.
Whoa. Now, there's nothing wrong with Shawn Michaels coming back to TV as long as he stays retired. He can do anything else he wants. That wasn't the stipulation.
You're out of WWE forever if I beat you.
So, you know. He said coughing.
He said coughing, yeah. Could you? There's a mute button when you try to cough, Tim. Just professionalism.
Yeah, fuck professionalism.
Professionalism.
He's
Ron,
not,
well, do you remember what show you're producing?
Oh, right. This is not Tuesday night. Okay, never mind.
Oh.
No, I was calling your show professional, Alan.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
What are you saying wow about? You're the one who's P-fucking-G over on OWW Radio, Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
See, that's
He's got
it.
A theory. I want to hear the theory.
Well, it's a theory in terms of what the match is going to be. There's reports out there that Hunter is wrapping things up.
Again?
For good.
Right.
Triple H versus The Undertaker. Streak, first career, Shawn Michaels, the special guest referee.
Okay, so apparently Taker is now, since every year we speculate that this is going to be Taker's final year, he's actually going to end everybody else's careers from now on at Mania.
Yeah, he's now the legend killer of The Undertaker. Randy Orton surrendered that at the door.
Yeah, apparently, when you are ready to retire, you go to WrestleMania and you lose to The Undertaker. That's how it works from now on.
There you go. Once again, everybody, if you're tuned in, listening to us yammer and be really stupid tonight here on WTR Sunday night, don't forget we've got a live chat room going. We are now on blogtv.com, and anybody tuned in on blogtv, thank you very much for checking out our very first show on blogtv. Come and join us in our chat room. You can catch us on the Ustream player or the blogtv player in our chat room, www.wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. Go to wildtalkradio.com and in the navigation bar, look for chat room. Click it, and it'll take you right there.
But back to our discussion.
God, where did the momentum go? I put it here somewhere.
Sting. Mason and I have been speculating on this one the last couple Tuesdays, and I don't know if Mason said it here or Megan said it here. The feel of the promo is WCW. Everything is WCW. Why not Sting? Everybody's all crapping on. It's what we talked about with Scott Fishman. Is this smoke and mirrors with the TNA pulling his profile off the website? And, you know, when 2/21/11 rolls around and it's not him, they'll go, ah, we fooled you. We fooled the internet. Woohoo! But if it is Sting, and he apparently has come out in certain reports going, nope, not me, and Taker's going, no, not him, and if it is Sting, that it's going to be the holy crap moment of 2011 as opposed to last year of Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart hugging in the middle of the ring.
Well, definitely that'll wind up being the moment to work at topping. Guys, I do not think it's going to be Sting.
We would be a letdown if it isn't Sting.
Hell yeah.
Well, there's the thing right now. It all depends on who you are. For all of us, for everybody who surfs the internet, hits the dirt sheets, hits the legit wrestling news sheets, listens to us, listens to, JJ and the crew when they do their show during the pay-per-views on Sunday nights. For the people who tune in and listen to the Jerkoff podcast on Mondays, yes, it's going to be a letdown. For everybody else, for people who don't get into it to the extent that we do, where it's absolutely fucking stupid, then yeah, it's going to be a letdown because we let the hype build up in front of us. Sting's from the WWE! Awesome! It's got to be Sting! It's got to be Sting! And everybody's going after, well, look at that 1-2 in the promo at the end. It kind of sort of curls like a scorpion. Everybody's going after fucking conspiracy theories.
That's
just
one,
like it's, yeah, Chris Jericho's re-debut with Save Us 2/22.
So that explains why the tinfoil sales tripled in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, people are making hats.
I deal with this in my other fandom the whole time, is that they get, we find out something is going to happen, and then we starts speculating so wildly, it just goes completely out of control. And by the time it actually comes out, the only thing that's wrong with, the only thing that's flawed or wrong with it is what we hoped it would have.
Yeah.
You know, we're, instead of just taking it for what it is, we get caught up in, well, I thought it was going to be this. You know, I wanted it to be this, and it was never meant to be that. You made it that way. It's your own fault.
This is going to be totally next to impossible to do, but everybody try it as an exercise. Pretend you don't do internet webcast where you talk about wrestling every week. Pretend you don't read the dirt sheets. Pretend you don't read the spoilers. Pretend you're just a casual wrestling fan. You see these promos, and then you tune in on the 21st and discover, holy fuck, it is Undertaker!
Oh my god. Who are you? Oh my god, where am I?
But even then, Tim?
Wait. Do you want me to actually pretend now that I'm not on a radio show? Or
yeah, I was forgetting. I was waiting for you to finish being a jerk off and actually answer the question.
But you gotta remember, if Omega wasn't like checking internet, doing anything internet related, he wouldn't be here.
Well, finally,
he'd be a very, very sad little boy sitting in a room full of Transformers.
Yeah, he wouldn't be on youtube.com/TJOmega.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the plastic addict. Yeah, okay, so Omega, play the game and see, like, just try for it.
Play the game. All right. I got my board out. I got my dice. You know, If I wasn't the smart mark that I am, I hate that term.
Smart.
You know. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I mean, here's the problem with the Undertaker promo. I would have had to have gotten into WWE in the last 6 months to not recognize, you know, an Undertaker promo, because he has them so regularly when he's coming back from injury or banishment from his last match or whatever the reason is that week. He does it so often that it's very hard to imagine myself as having no idea what an Undertaker returning promo would look like and not see it coming a mile away.
Now, hold up for just a second. Don't go to extreme. I'm calling you the casual wrestling fan. That that nowadays means you watch on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, but you avoid the internet and all the speculation and hype and shit.
I know.
So, but you've seen Undertaker. You've seen the promos for his returns before. You've seen him get knocked off of WWE TV in buried alive matches and casket matches and shit like that before.
Okay, then, yeah, naturally, yes, I would be happy to see it if it was The Undertaker, having absolutely no speculation or hopes in my mind to the contrary.
And there you go. You see, that's just the thing. Everybody's got speculations and hopes and conspiracy theories in their minds. And everybody's saying, oh, my God, it's going to be Sting. You watch. You wait. You see. Alan, you typed it out. Ask the question.
Well, have they done these? I'm trying to really remember this because I'm trying to remember back to Royal Rumble 94, I think it was, when they buried him with Yokozuna and everything, and then he came back to Survivor Series 94 and took him out. I don't remember them ever doing a promo package like this when he's been buried alive, or he is in a casket deal. Why do it now? Everybody knows.
Everybody
knows it's February. The dead man's coming back to keep the streak.
That's what I keep going back to in my head, because, like I said, no Undertaker returning promo has ever been this secretive or mysterious. And that's not just because, okay, WWE likes to do it that way. It's because it's marketable that way, because people will come in droves to see The Undertaker.
Yeah, well, also, I mean, just to throw this out here, this is another one that we brought up on this past Tuesday night in my circle of friends, which is very huge, is brought up. What if this is just a totally brand new character? that. I've heard the name Skip Sheffield mentioned by some friends that go to FCW events. I've heard other people. What if that is the case? That this is a totally brand new character. It's not Taker. It's not Sting. Maybe it's something like a base. It's a dead a cowboy character or something like that. What if it is that? Then is the audience going to go, ah, crap, that's what it was?
Oh. See, then you go into how it's being marketed right now. You've got, you know, we talk about the song, Ain't No Grave to Keep My Body Down. You know, that is suggestive of a return of some kind. Now, if it is like Skip Sheffield returning as Skip Sheffield with this new look, new character, you know, if we're going for, you know, a revamping of an old character, fine. But if that's true, we need some kind of concrete evidence of it in the next promo. It can't wait till 2:22. There's got to be some kind of hint. But it's just too indicative of some kind of return so far.
Now, the question I have is, why would you promote a new... If it's a new character like you're thinking, why hype it up like this so close to Mania?
Because I have a truckload of time to build before Mania. There's no Mark WWE pay-per-view unless I'm looking at the calendar wrong.
But you don't build up a new character just for Mania. They usually do that after WrestleMania is when they bring in their new characters. Why would you bring in the new character and have him a featured part of your WrestleMania when no one's going to buy that?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at this point in time in the year for it to be a new character.
I just wanted to throw it out there because, like I said, I get friends all the time. We get emails all the time that people are going, it's not this, it's this, it's that. And I get what Omega's saying because I am a movie geek, and watching Super Bowl Sunday, I was sitting there looking at all these trailers, and I'm going, wow, that looks cool, that looks cool, that looks cool. But, you know, Cowboys and Aliens isn't coming out until the summer, so between now and then, everybody's going to pull the crap out of it. This promo reminds me, and then I promise I'll shut up. I don't know if Omega remembers it, but do you remember the bumpers that were put out for Cloverfield with the 1808 thing? That they were real, real, real vague in what the hell that was. You can go online and try to find the old Cloverfield promos. That's what this felt like. It feels like a viral thing, like Blair Witch Project going back in the day.
But hey, I love the Cloverfield promos. They were better than the movie.
The whole popularity of Cloverfield was just how, you know, just secretive and, you know.
Oh, it was fucking clever. It was clever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it got you curious as hell as to what the fuck it was.
And that's what the Fed's loving right now. We're talking about it. We've been talking about it for, what, 20 minutes now?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's time we move on. Why don't we do a really, really quick Elimination Chamber preview for the Elimination Chamber match next week, and then we'll jump to quick hits and call it a night. Sounds good, guys?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Okay, well, we've got these three matches set up. We got the WWE Championship match, The Miz versus Jerry Lawler. What do you think? Alex Riley interferes and The Miz retains. Alan?
I'd like to see it. I think it's Cole interferes to set up him versus Cole at WrestleMania, and we finally get Michael Cole out of our hair.
There you go. Omega?
I pretty much agree with that sentiment. It's going to be Michael Cole saving his boyfriend again, and we're going to get Lawler and Cole at Mania. We know Cole's training to take bumps, and I can't wait to see him take those bumps.
Better than Vicky Guerrero, I'm sure.
Can we just replicate like the Paul Bearer plummeting from the scaffold? You know, with both of them, Cole and Vicky.
If we're going to replicate anything that they've done, can we replicate them both being buried in cement?
That'd be good. That'd be damn good. Mace, what do you figure is going to happen on this one?
Say above.
Okay, there you go. I really want to see, I mean, Jerry's been dyed in the wool WWE forever, guys, figuratively speaking. He's never had a WrestleMania match. He's never held a world title in WWE. Who's to say that some fluke
he makes some kind of a bet on Monday night with Cole and says, look, if I beat him and I win the title, I get 5 minutes in the ring with you, Cole. And let him have the title for a week. Let him have it, like, right into Elimination Chamber and let somebody win it in Elimination Chamber. They love The Miz in WWE backroom, and they want to keep pushing him, which is great because he's fantastic. He's one of the better heels to come along in years. So,
see, I would love
why
to see-
not? Why not? Let me just finish. Why not take the belt off him in a noble way where he doesn't lose heat? Yeah, sure. Maybe Alex Riley tries to help The Miz. That's where it fucks up. Advantage, Lawler. Lawler gets the belt, and he smiles, looks at Cole, points, and you see him, in other words, I got you, motherfucker. Now, that would be something to see him say motherfucker, but you get the idea.
Well, see, there's two issues I take with that. Number one is I don't think you diminish the world title win from Jerry Lawler by making it about getting 10 minutes or 5 minutes in the ring with Cole. I think if you do that, it's going to be for Mania and it's going to be Alex Riley instead, which I don't think is as likely as Lawler versus Cole. That being said, I would love to see Jerry Lawler hold the belt, even if it is for just a couple of weeks or so, because he's probably one of the most deserving people to never win that championship. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I can't see them doing it that close to Mania, because it's already bad enough that Elimination Chamber is kind of this speed bump on the road to WrestleMania, because it gives the world title a chance to change hands before the show, in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. We don't have that 2 month build up and push that we used to enjoy, that had a really strong, you know, good long time to build a storyline and a feud. I can't imagine them making it even shorter by having the world championship change hands a couple times after this next pay-per-view leading up to Mania.
2/21/11, Jerry Lawler walks into Raw, the new WWE champion, for one night only, and loses it back to The Miz.
I just don't think you diminish the championship that way by having it change hands that fast, so close to Mania. Like I said, there are the few people that will pop louder than me if he actually does win the title, because I really want him to see the belt on him, just even if it's for a little while. But I can't see it happening.
They like to throw curveballs that get you off the track of what they're thinking. Could that be one of them? It's just a possibility. It won't happen, but it's a possibility.
Don't get my hopes up. I'm trying not to get my hopes up here, Rock.
So there it is, The Miz versus Jerry Lawler. It won't happen, but I'm going to say Lawler wins the belt. He's a transitional champion, and like he loses it immediately afterwards. But he at least gets to have his name go. Yeah, he gets to have his name go in the books as a heavyweight title holder in WWE. Next match. Well, somebody had something to say.
Was there a comment? I'm good.
Move on. No one commented. Tim, move on.
Tim's okay. Hearing things again.
No, I'm getting feedback from Rock.
Rock, call the home.
So you heard off. You heard Omega sigh. That's all. Move on.
Okay, there you go. So you see, I heard something. Omega, shut the fuck up, goddamn you. Next match, SmackDown Elimination Chamber match, Edge versus Drew McIntyre versus Rey Mysterio versus Kane versus Dolph Ziggler versus Wade Barrett. Who wins?
See, that depends. If Vicky Guerrero makes the spear illegal, if it makes it illegal for Edge to breathe during the match, if she makes it illegal to, stand up or make it illegal to have Edge go for a pinball during a match, Edge will still win.
Okay.
I'm not sure why this is even in the chamber. I kind of like the idea of Raw's chamber where the belt is not on the line.
Because they already have a SmackDown main event for WrestleMania. They need to determine a champion. That's why it's in the chamber, and they do it two every year.
Oh, see, that's the confusing part for me right now. Why would you bother doing, like, again, why if you've got Edge versus Alberto Del Rio, why would you diminish the time by putting the championship or even risking the championship being put on the line in the Elimination Chamber? You know, it's fine for Raw because, okay, you still have your gimmick pay-per-view. You still have your Elimination Chamber match. It's more special because you're only doing one, and it's still a very credible way of deciding your main event for the opposite show. I don't understand why it has any other reason than that.
I gotta agree with him. I think Edge shouldn't even be in this match. But Edge has gotta walk out. Who are you honestly gonna put in that match with Del Rio at WrestleMania right now? Because you just basically have killed everything you've built with Del Rio and Edge. If Edge does not walk out, the champ.
Well, here's are you ready for the twist, guys?
Oh,
there's a twist, Shyamalan.
Yeah, there's a twist. World title controversy brewing. Edge retained his title on SmackDown by using the spear, which is illegal. What's his name from the Green Bay Packers came out and
Clay Matthews.
With a came out with a ref shirt on and counted the pinfall 1-2-3. Edge retains. Vicky sees all of this happening. She catches the second spear. Dolph Ziggler has been playing it up on WWE.com. I'm the rightful champion. Use the spear. That's illegal. Yada yada yada. Do we see any kind of problems on Friday Night SmackDown because of this?
Sure, why not?
Well, there's going to be a conflict, of course, but there's also going to be a reason why he had a ref shirt on and why it was officially counted 1-2-3. Someone had to send him down there. Someone had to actually give him the approval. Someone had to tell the timekeeper, oh, hey, this is going to be legal, ring the bell.
Maybe that peanut head looking guy?
Teddy.
Yeah, I'm thinking it is the return of Teddy.
This is, yeah, Rock brought this, brought it up. I was about to hit it when he said it. Teddy Hart returns, or Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart. That would be awesome. Have Teddy Hart
that's
do a flipping thing off the top of the chamber.
Yeah,
Teddy Hart runs down. I allowed it. It's fine. Edge is the champion. He starts backflipping off the top rope.
Until he throws up orange stuff, yeah. Okay, no, Teddy Long returns, and it was Teddy Long who sent Matthews out. Yes or no?
Hell yeah.
Why not? So there's your controversy ended. Next match. Oh, wait, we didn't say who comes out the winner, did we? Edge, right? Yeah.
Edge.
Next match on the card, the Raw Elimination Chamber match. John Cena versus John Morrison versus R-Truth versus Randy Orton versus Punk versus Sheamus. Now, this one's going to be determining the number one contender for the WWE title. What do you figure is going to happen, Alan?
I sure hope it's not Marky Mark again. I mean, God, how many manias does he have to main event? And he's to that point. He's to the point of The Rock and Austin of where the belt doesn't need to be on him. He's so passed over. And the fans like us that listen to this show and other shows and read everything are going to go, God, really? We're going to have to sit through the Miz and Cena again at WrestleMania? I want Miz and Morrison because Morrison should have gotten the shot at Royal Rumble. And you've got 6 weeks, I think it is, or maybe off on the calendar there, to build Miz versus Morrison. I'm probably wrong because
I hope
Steph
not.
Steph and Creative are going to go, Marky Mark, baby, you're on again, and you get to be the champ again. Heaven forbid we get rid of that stupid spinner belt.
The only way you get Morrison as world fighting for the world title is if you sign Sting, and they haven't signed Sting, so it's going to be John Cena.
No, what's in it is that? Omega.
You can't do it with John Cena because look how much heat and how much build-up he's got going right now with CM Punk.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an obvious head to WrestleMania. Looking at the match, since we just got done with Randy Orton, they wouldn't book a main event WrestleMania that we've seen, you know, two or three times already in the last month. Honestly, like, I know management doesn't think Morrison's ready for the main event, but after a stellar match on Raw with all the history the two have, I can't see any other match besides Morrison and Miz.
You do a bunch of vignettes, play up what Omega just brought on. These guys were multi-time world tag champs. The parkour training thing, show vignettes of him doing that to train like they did Shawn Michaels going into WrestleMania 12.
Mace.
I'm going with Marky Mark, and then he's going to fly off from the Elimination Chamber to save us from the meteor that's slowly hurtling towards Earth, and then he's going to go save Bob Wayne from Lex Luthor.
No, okay, now it's my turn. It's not going to be Marky Mark because he's going to be busy with the fucked up bunch at WrestleMania. The plan is for Mania match between Punk and Cena. And because Punk's involved, it should be a good match because I think Punk will be able to carry it, believe it or not. I'm calling for Morrison. I think Morrison showed something at Royal Rumble. Fuck, he showed a lot of things at Royal Rumble. And then that absolutely off-the-hook opening match on Raw a few weeks ago between him and Miz. You guys are making fun with logic, and Alan, you're saying logic rules. It's simply logical to put Miz versus Morrison for the title. I think Morrison is ready. I think he's proved he's ready.
He might have proved that he's ready. They still don't give a flying fuck. Hell, they could fucking curveball us all and go, hey, we're going to put our truth in the main event at WrestleMania.
He can for Morrison. He's been with the company last more than 6 months.
So that's Mace's favorite line.
Mace brought that up so well on Tuesday night. Whenever we had him on, he was just going on and on about that. I was like, awesome, t-shirt it now.
There you go. So there it is. I'm calling Morrison wins the Raw Elimination Chamber. How many Spider-Man moves will we see Morrison pull off? I'm going to say 4.
2. He's going to do one off the side of the chamber, and he's going to do one off the top of the little pod things they keep him in.
So back to Mace's point with R-Truth in the main event. So he's going to show up at WrestleMania and say, "What's up, Orlando?"
No, he's going to say, "What's up, Tokyo?"
What's up, Marietta or Augusta?
What's up, Venus?
What's up, New York City? Atlanta.
What's up,
Mayor
Space Station?
So, yeah, there you go.
All right. So fun to make fun of.
It is. Oh, it was funny. It was really funny. I felt bad for Killings when he fucked up like that. You know, all the hype and excitement of the fucking Packers winning the goddamn Super Bowl. For fuck's sake!
I felt sorry for everybody's ears that had to put up with 10 minutes of Michael Cole ragging on him about it.
Oh, God. Cole.
Yeah. Let it go, Cole. Okay, he was excited. We're in Milwaukee. Let it go, Cole. He was excited. We're in Milwaukee, you nerd! Oh, my God. Michael Cole using the word nerd is like a fraud calling somebody green.
Hey.
Seriously. Or if you want to get Canadian, Michael Cole using the word nerd is like a French Canadian using the word fraud.
Wow.
Ooh. Like French Canadian using English.
Yeah.
Ooh. We have a Canadian using fraud. That's reverse racism.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
As it says in the intro, politically incorrect and damn
proud of it. Damn straight. All right, so there it is. That's the majority of the show. It's time, everybody. That's right, the moment you've all been waiting for. Fasten your seatbelts. Get ready for another edition of Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
In the absence of the Spud guy, the part of Spud tonight will be played by the host, Tim Stein.
Omega, this is your first Quick Hits question of the night. What is TNA's best quality?
Right now, its best quality is...
the closing credits.
Wow.
Damn!
There goes that joke. Yeah, okay, you know what? You win. You win the package of peanut butter cookies that are in the mail. Okay, Omega, go ahead.
They're never coming in since I am.
Fuck off. Omega, answer the goddamn question and we'll go home.
Kind of science. Their best quality right now
is that biatch.
Fuck you.
Oh, seriously, I bet she's not even, she'd have enjoyed that.
Oh, God. Their best quality right now is... right now, it's probably their highly underused mid-card. They've got a ton of talent on there, a ton that has not been elevated, a ton that steals the show every night, and get absolutely nothing for it. But at the same time, that also means they don't usually get caught up in really convoluted storylines that we picked on so much tonight. So, even if it's underused, it still has their best... it still has some of their best moments.
All right. And now, Mace, would you be interested in watching a Season 5 of NXT with WWE Legends and their sons involved?
I haven't watched NXT since Season 3, so what makes you think I'd be interested in Season 5?
Just saying.
Plus, I could always watch the Legends anytime I want. It's called DVD.
There you go. Okay. Well, that works. So the answer is meh.
Meh. Now they're on t-shirts.
There you go. Someone's doing a t-shirt near you. Alan, with tonight being the Grammy Awards, what's your favorite song of 2010? And if you say baby, 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 we're hanging up.
Poker Face. Come on, Poker Face.
BT, Suddenly. He was nominated for a Grammy tonight. I was very happy for him. I think he lost.
All right, there you go. All right.
Okay. Spugstein, what is your favorite Mr. Perfect moment?
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Every time he spat the gum out and slapped it away with his hand. And then he'd look at the camera and say, Hulk Hogan, you can't do that.
No, there's a better Mr. Perfect moment, but it's only available via the Chris Harris interview that was done last Tuesday night by Ellen Wojcik and myself over at OWW Radio.
My personal favorite was being in attendance at SummerSlam 91 when he wrestled Bret Hart, knowing that he had a very hurt back, and he still went out there and stole the pay-per-view.
Yeah, can I finish what I was going to say now?
Good. Spoke.
Yeah. I can't pick any single one Mr. Perfect moment. I mean,
did Mr. Perfect have the perfect midget?
He was perfect. Everything he did was perfect. That's why he was called Mr. Perfect. Yeah, he's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers in the ring. Very, very sound technically. He could hang with anybody, and he could make the weakest fucking opponent absolutely shine and look like a million fucking bucks. So that's my answer. Back to you, Omega. Your second question of the night. If you were left in the room all alone with Vicky Guerrero for 5 minutes, what would you do?
Is there...
Does he have access to shop implements?
No. Mace.
What? Now, come on.
Mace, that's highly inappropriate and wrong. Because it'd be far more fun with bare fists right to your face. No. Seriously. I mean, I take that back. I wouldn't hit her in the face because you wouldn't be able to tell I did any damage. But...
ooh.
If I do anything, Sweet Chin Music, right to the throat. Shut her the fuck up.
Aren't you worried you might knock her glass eye out? Just wondering.
I get a glass eye. I keep it as a war trophy. Look. Hey. Ice Slayer.
Mace. Question number two. If you could have a robotic body part, what would the body part be, and why would it be robotic?
Amazed I didn't get this one.
Yeah, this sounds like more of an Omega question.
No, I don't make them up. I just read them.
there's many ways to answer this one. Every way involves a cannon. A robotic body part that turns into a cannon. I'll let you take a guess. Whatever ones you like, let your mind rove.
Oh, God.
Your left arm where the fist kind of drops, and there's the cannon right there. Because I'm PG and not dirty-minded.
Bullshit.
Hey, shut up.
but if you want a non-joke serious answer, it'd probably be my left leg, because that's the one with the problem. So rub the fucker off, replace it.
There you go.
But if you want a serious answer.
Okay,
we have to be really serious, because, you know, TNA, they take their moments very seriously, so should we?
Oh, fuck.
Fuck that. I'm imagining you telling a girl that you're going to blow her mind, literally, all the way through.
All right. We never, ever, ever ask the plastic addict questions like that again.
We didn't ask the plastic addict that question.
I know. But we don't let the
thing. We did not.
It's probably a good thing. We don't let him answer.
Right.
From now on.
Right.
That's it.
We don't let them answer, but you can go to tjomega.blogspot.com.
I'm just thinking about all the leader jokes he could come up with that.
Oh, God.
There we go. Alan, is there anyone in the world that you wouldn't say thank you to?
Yeah, my ex-fiance. Oh, wait, I did. I thanked her for breaking up with me.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah. There you go. You can't use that one.
Yeah, there's a few people, but I'm not going to name them because why give them assholes the time and voice on the radio? Yes, I just did that.
Nick Anthony. Nick Anthony.
Who?
Who's that?
Who? Yeah, exactly. See, nobody knows who that fuck is anyway. Don't worry about it.
That's like watching what is it, on the U-Sheets. Maze can back me up on it. Somebody always drops in the, what do you think of Brian Alvarez? And the first answer out of everybody's mouth is to Sean Oliver is,
who's Brian Alvarez?
That's kind of how I feel right now.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you feel like everybody's answer should be? Who's Alan Wojcik? I don't know who Alan Wojcik is. Do you?
Yeah, he's that guy that drops names.
Exactly. Spug's question number two. I'm dying to hear this one.
Yeah.
Rock, before you ask this question, ask a different one.
No.
Come up with a different answer.
No, that's not how it works.
Guys, I know what the question is, and it's not appropriate for me.
But
no, this is not an appropriate question for me.
Shit, Shirley, answer the fucking question.
This is not an appropriate question.
No, this question is meant to put Spug on the spot and change the person, and change what we kind of see as Spug. But anyway, Tim Stein playing the part of Spug. What's the most romantic thing you've ever done?
Do I have to answer a Tim Stein or Spug?
Tim Stein.
God damn it. Because I had a perfect answer as Spug.
Oh, dude, I let my wife pee in the car in a bottle when we ran out of gas. That was pretty good.
What? Heard last week on Russell Talk Radio.
I don't know. God, I'm kind of glad. Somehow, and nothing against the guy, I can't imagine Bug ever being in some romantic situation where the woman still didn't end up gooey.
Oh, fuck.
Well, you let him talk to his wife after the show. Oh my god!
Like, yeah,
doing shows.
Exactly.
Go to bed, honey. I'll come in and fuck you later. He said that a couple of times. Trust me, Alan.
I know. I was here for one of them.
T
Tim, you still got
to answer. To answer a question here.
Romantic thing, Stein.
All right. I'll tell you what. The most romantic thing ever done. Listen to this song.
What a cheap way out.
Very cheap. That's not counted.
It was. Hey, guys. It was Rock's idea.
Re-answer.
To be continued after Valentine's Day, because who knows what he's going to do tomorrow.
No. It was Rock's idea, so therefore, by default, he made it count.
Oh, wow.
I was trying to get him. He was not going to answer that question. Where are you, Tim?
This is off the bull.
All right, guys.
Hold on, guys.
Shut up. My honey's singing.
No, hold on. I paused it.
Damn.
Every question that you have to answer, you can fucking answer this one, Tim. And Rock, you're not letting him fucking out of it.
Mace, this is where we're going to throw it to you. He wants a new question. Give him a question. Mace, I'll put it to you.
Uh-oh.
There you go. Open forum, mate. Give me a question.
Hey, Rock's a fucking question guy.
I'll ask one. If you were handed a copy of Bruce Hart's book that I was just handed to, how much of it, honestly, do you think is true, and what would you say to him right now?
20%. Bruce, get the fuck over yourself.
Boo with that question. You have to put him in a
softball him?
That was kind of lame.
Thank you.
Here you go, Tim. Name three good things about the podcast on Monday night.
Ooh, wow.
Talk about the impossible question.
What are you handing him Shawn Michaels material next?
God, why didn't you just ask him to name three good things about the pay-per-view tonight?
No, I can name three good things about the podcast on Monday night. It will debut a new shorter intro tomorrow. It's got an absolutely incredibly good producer at the helm.
Yeah.
And I no longer have to listen to it.
So you don't listen to Wrestling News Live ever?
Oh, you're an ass.
Well done, Rook.
you know JJ and Trey download the archive to this, and you're going to get me in trouble with them. I listen to Wrestling News Live.
He shoots and scores.
Monday nights at WrestlingNewsLive.tk. 30 minutes after goes off the air.
Trying to cover, chilling to cover up.
Fucking right.
Get the menstrual.
And that's where we end this show. Take it away, Tim.
That's where we end the show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to the post-TNA pay-per-view version of WTR Sunday. Those of you catching the archive, thanks for downloading it. Our download numbers are growing exponentially every single week for all the shows. Really good to see. Glad that you guys, even though we're on a little bit late for a lot of people, 11 o'clock Eastern gets to be, you know, kind of late when you got to go to school or you got to work the next morning. Those of you who hang with us, thank you very much. Those of you who get up early in other countries to listen to us when it's like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning in your country, thank you very much. Those of you who spend a Monday afternoon with us because you got the day off work, you know, in Australia, those of you who have a job.
Thank you.
Whoa.
That wasn't a shot, but okay.
Oh, shit.
No, it wasn't. Because after Wednesday, you'll have a job, so it won't count.
Damn right.
Thank you, Wrestling Fanatic, for carrying the chat room. Thank Audio Wrestling for now putting up our archives. And
absolutely. www.audiowrestling.com. And Alawogic on OWW Radio this Tuesday, 9 o'clock Eastern.
We will have the continuation of WrestleMania Memories. The owner and operator of the history of WWE.com, Graham Coffin, will be joining us. Kevin Scott will be replacing Mace. Kevin Scott is the TNA contributor for the Under the Ring blog, which is affiliated with Poughkeepsie Journal. Hopefully, Fuzz will be around, and if not, I've got a few people lined up, and 2 weeks from now, we have a locked guest, but I'm not saying it.
Say it.
Everything that I'm not going to say.
Oh, God. No, no, no. Alan, say it.
Okay, it's fine. We're going to have former WWE creative member and current ROH creative member, and I believe he also works with NWA, wrestling from Hollywood, David Lagana will be joining us.
There you go. That's huge news. And, of course, Utaka Talk Live Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, Omega.
Once again, I think we're trying... Bug and me and Mace, I believe, are going to try and get through our adapting to video game topic once more. And beyond that, it is the news of the week, all the geek stuff as told by geeks themselves.
There you go. And look for the return of Anything Goes coming...
Eventually. Tune in Saturday night, TV Radio, Midnight-ish, where you never know what we're going to talk about. Because last night we talked about the Tim Stein and Keith's wedding and a whole bunch of other things. But tune in, we never know what we're going to talk about. And it's really, really good when somebody's not high, which he was this Saturday night.
He wasn't high.
No,
wow.
He was actually coherent and actually contributing to the show. Tune in, Midnight-ish.
That's weird. I would never expect that from
him. Are you sure it was him?
Yeah. It was him.
Yeah, it was him. It's the phone number. You see the phone number, you know it's him.
Yeah,
there you go. And, of course, it's Sunday night. Yeah, okay, there we go. Next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. It'll be the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view review show. Tune us in immediately following WWE's Elimination Chamber right here, same time, same channel. And, hey, if you're out and about when our shows are on, check us out on your mobile device. You can catch us at wtr.wirenode.mobi. Surf there, look for Wild Talk Radio, click on it, and you will hear the show streaming on your mobile device.
Woohoo!
I don't know what all you people are so calm about. Subway has his phone stolen. He's somewhere in a garbage bag right now. There's an imposter taking his name. And no one's looking for him. He's missing somewhere. Sean Walton told me so.
Stay tuned for WTR's Conspiracy Theories coming soon, starring The Omega, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody have a great week. We're out.